state champ, the state wrestling champ, the North Carolina state wrestling champ, the undefeated North Carolina state wrestling champ. He is a McVernon. Amen. Do not accuse me of nepotism. Amen. I pray prayerfully considered this. I didn't want people to think just because he's family, I'm having him preach. Champ, come on.
That's probably the best introduction I've ever had. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. The Bible says, in verse 1, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. And you can mark that down. God's judging America now because of the whoremongers and the adulterers. God's judging. I look at my family and I see the whoremonging and the adulteries that have taken place and the sin that's taken place as a result of that. You see, I see pedophilia that's happened in my own family as a result of adultery taking place in my family. And ladies and gentlemen, sin always produces more sin. A sinful life will always produce more sin. The Bible says in verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The Bible tells us, fear not him that's able to destroy the body, but fear him that's able to destroy both soul and body in hell. The problem with a lot of folks today is that they're trying to please man rather than trying to please God. And they're going around trying to do all sorts of things in religion to try to please men, but they're not pleasing God. And ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says without faith it is impossible, impossible to please him. You could do all the works of the flesh. You could do everything. You could try to offer all your works. Try to offer your flesh to God for righteousness, but all God sees is murdering and whoremonging and adultering and lying and stealing and thieving and all the things that are as a result of your flesh. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. The Bible said, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The Bible said, how can ye believe who receive honor one from another who receive not the honor which cometh from God only? How can you believe? How can you believe? The Bible said, remember them in verse 7, which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which ye have not profited them that have been occupied therein. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says study to show yourselves approved unto God. Workmen that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what we need to do today. We need to rightly divide the word of truth. Study to show yourselves approved unto God. Workmen that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The Bible says search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me, but you will not come unto me that you might have life. The Bible said, you will not come to me that you might have life. The Bible says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, shall seek to enter in and shall not be able. The Bible says, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Strive to enter in. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Be not carried about with strange doctrines and divers doctrines. The Bible says in verse 10, We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought unto the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. We seek one to come. Ladies and gentlemen, he said this, verse 11, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Ladies and gentlemen, we see the suffering of Jesus Christ while he walked upon the earth. The preacher mentioned it earlier. Could you imagine being the very God in the flesh and having to walk around and see and put up with sin? I have to see sin in my own self, and sometimes when I go out in public, it's so grievous. I was in a Walmart not too long ago, and I was standing there, and I began to hear a man just talking so filthy walking into the Walmart. Could you imagine what the Lord Jesus Christ had to go through while he was walking upon the earth? The people that he had to deal with, the people that he had to see, the sin that was in front of him that he had to see with his own very eyes. Could you imagine being God and having to see that? Could you imagine being God and having to be taken to the cross? The very sinless Son of God. And ladies and gentlemen, people say, could Jesus sin? Can God sin? Can God sin? No, God can't sin. And ladies and gentlemen, God can't sin. And the very sinless Son of God, who was foreordained before the foundation of the world, was manifested in these last times, the Bible said, for you. And Jesus Christ was made flesh. The Word of God was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. The Word of God is Jesus. He's the Word of God. The Word of God was made flesh and dwelt among us. Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're going to be born again, you're going to be born again by the Word of God. Yes. You're going to be born again by Jesus Christ. And ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, suffered upon the cross of Calvary. The Bible said, in whom himself bare our sin in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you're healed. The Bible said, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances which was ordained against us, which was contrary to us, he took them out of the way, nailing it to his cross. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said, but God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We've studied in the Bible, a lot of these preachers talk about that TH. People said, does Jesus Christ love sinners today? Some people say Jesus doesn't love sinners today. He loved them at one point. He died on the cross for them. You see that TH on the end of God commendeth his love towards us. That means God loves sinners right now. God loves those that are lost right now. Jesus died for sinners right now. The Bible said, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus Christ come to save those that are lost. Jesus Christ come to save sinners. And he died on the cross. We see in Psalms 22, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? We see Jesus Christ on the cross saying the same thing. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus was made sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We see the suffering of Jesus Christ on the cross. And I want to go a step further and say, we see the suffering of Jesus Christ in hell. We see it in hell. Some preachers say that Jesus didn't go down into hell. The Bible said, who is he that should ascend, but that he first descend into the lower parts of the earth? It didn't say the lower part of the earth. It said the lower parts of the earth. That's what it says. We see in Psalms 116 verse 3, the Bible said, the pains of hell have gotten hold on me. When did David go to hell? When did David? David never went to hell. David never went to hell. He said, the pains of hell have gotten hold on me.
He said in Acts chapter 2, talking David, he prophesied of this. He said, thou will not leave my soul in hell. Thou will not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Ladies, could Jesus sin? His Holy One wouldn't see corruption. His body wouldn't decay. What is it? What brings forth death? Sin.
That's right.
Sin. He said, thou will not leave my soul in hell. Hell. Hell is, ladies and gentlemen, you read it in your Bible. I know some preachers have said that it's this and that, and you find it in the Greek and Hebrew. I read over there in the book of Deuteronomy that the wrath of God would be kindled to the lowest hell, and there was fire, and there was brimstone. Jesus said the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Jesus said it's a place where the fire is never quenched, where the worm dieth not. And we see the suffering of Jesus Christ, suffering the pains of hell. Suffering the pains of hell. He suffered without the camp, ladies and gentlemen. When they took the Lord Jesus Christ, they took him outside of the city in Jerusalem. Took him outside of that gate. They took him to a place that was called Golgotha. The Bible said when they came to a place which was called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors went on the right hand and the other on the left. And ladies and gentlemen, we see the suffering of Jesus Christ. Why? That he would shed his blood, that he might sanctify his people with his own blood. And he suffered without the gate. Jesus was made sin for us. And ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that separated the sin offering, Jesus' soul was made an offering for sin. One of the things that separated the sin offering from the others is that it was done without the gate. It was done outside of the camp. It was done outside of the tabernacle. In Leviticus chapter 4, let's turn there and read it. Turn there and read it. Suffered without the gate. Leviticus chapter 4. And Moses, at verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a soul shall sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and shall do against any of them, if the priest that is anointed do sin according to the sin of the people, then let him bring forth his sin, which he hath sinned, a young bullock without blemish unto the Lord for a sin offering. And he shall bring the bullock unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, and shall lay his hand upon the bullock's head and kill the bullock before the Lord. And the priest that is anointed shall take the bullock's blood and sprinkle and bring it to the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle of the blood seven times before the Lord, before the veil of the sanctuary. And the priest shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar of the sweet incense before the Lord, which is in the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall pour all the blood of the bullocks at the bottom of the altar and of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall take off from it all the fat of the bullock for the sin offering, and the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver and the kidneys, it shall he take away. As it was taken off from the bullock of the sacrifice of the peace offering, and the priest shall burn them upon the altar of the burnt offering. Ladies and gentlemen, we see all this taking place and all the sacrifice and such that was done here. Ladies and gentlemen, you take that sin offering, it was brought before the Lord, it was brought in the tabernacle, but they took and they sacrificed it without the camp. They sacrificed it without the camp. And they done all that, it was burned without the camp. It was burned without the camp. Ladies and gentlemen, we see Jesus Christ. The sin offering had to be burned. The sin offering had to be burned. Not only that, we see that in Leviticus chapter 16. Leviticus chapter 16. This is what it's talking about here in the book of Hebrews 13. It's talking about a living sacrifice. Talking about a living sacrifice. Talking about Jesus Christ dying on the cross and you becoming a living sacrifice. Leviticus 16, we'll be getting the right place. Verse 5, and whosoever toucheth his head shall
excuse me, chapter 16, verse 5. And he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel two kids of the goats for a sin offering and one ram for a burnt offering. You know, we have that lady that gets awful mad talking about kids. Jesus Christ is pictured as a goat.
That's right.
Jesus Christ is pictured as a goat here. I know a lady that gets awful mad when you refer to children as kids because kids are goats. Jesus Christ was referred to as a goat here.
Good.
And one ram for a burnt offering, and Aaron shall offer his bullock of a sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house. He shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats, and for the and one lot for the Lord, and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell, offer him for a sin offering. That's the lot that the Lord was given to die upon the cross. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what Jesus Christ did. And Aaron shall bring the goat which the Lord's lot fell, and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him, and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and shall make an atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself. And he shall take a censer full of burning coals from the fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense beaten small, and bring it within the veil. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not. And he shall take the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with the finger upon the mercy seat eastward, and before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle of the blood with the finger seven times. And ladies and gentlemen, then they would take the other goat, and they would let that goat go out into the wilderness, into a place far away. And what that goat would do is bear the reproach of the goat that died. That's what happened. That's what it's talking about here in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. Let's read it again. The Bible says this: for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. When that sacrifice was offered for sin, that goat, they had a scapegoat that went out into the wilderness, and what did it do? It bore the reproach of the other. That's what it did. Ladies and gentlemen, we look at our churches, we look at our society today. People are not willing to bear the reproach of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said in the book of Romans, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians, for I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Ladies and gentlemen, people are not willing to put away their own desires. The Bible tells us in the Gospels, he that shall find his life, he'll lose it. He'll lose his life, he'll find it. If you'll lose your life, ladies and gentlemen, if you'll let your life become for the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can say with Apostle Paul, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Your life is not your own. The Bible said you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your members, which are God's. You're not your own. Your Bible tells us in the book of Romans that your instruments are not for instruments of unrighteousness. We don't use these hands for sin. God didn't give you your senses to go out and commit sin. He didn't give your hearing to listen to rock and roll music. He didn't give your mouth to speak filthiness. He didn't give your body to go out and perform sin. He didn't give you your mouth to go out and produce all kinds of ungodliness and to go out and take drugs and drinking and everything else. But the Bible tells us that you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Glorify God in your body, which is God's. It's God's. Belongs to him. Ladies and gentlemen, if you'll lose your life, you'll find it. If you'll lose your life, you'll find it. And let us go for, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Bearing his reproach. You know what's sad? I believe with all my heart, if we were half the Christian that we ought to be, that Christians in America would be suffering persecution on an extreme level.
I believe that.
I believe it. If I was half the Christian that I claim that I am, I would suffer persecution. I know preachers down there in North Carolina, they're pretty good old boys. They don't act fools out there on the street corners. But a friend of mine, he got arrested in Lincolnton, North Carolina, in the Bible Belt. North Carolina, I'm talking about Baptist church. You can throw a rock from a Baptist church and hit another Baptist church in Lincolnton, North Carolina. Got arrested for preaching where he was allowed to preach on the street. Now, acting a fool. He didn't act a fool. Preaching the gospel. Preaching to the people, there's a God that loves you. There's a God that'll save you. I've preached with them. I preached to them on the streets. I guarantee you, I believe with all my heart, if we're half the Christian we ought to be. The Bible said, and all they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Why is it that we're not suffering persecution? Why is it some of you are not suffering persecution? Could it be that you're not living godly in Christ Jesus? Could it be? We're not living godly. I remember when I decided I was going to sell out to God, lock, stock, and barrel. Lock, stock, and barrel. I took everything. He was making fun of me for being the state champion. He called me up here. I guess I could talk about it a little bit. But I did have opportunities to go to college and do that sort of thing. I did have people calling me on my phone every weekend from colleges. I didn't have that. I could have went to West Point. They say the average person that graduates from West Point makes at least $150,000 a year. I could have went there. I don't make nowhere near that kind of money. Not even in the same ballpark. I could have done every bit of that. I had friends. I had all kinds of friends. I thought they were my friends. I had all kinds of people that wanted to hang around. State champion. I had all kinds of people that claimed that they liked me so good. They were my buddies. But I decided I was going to sell out lock, stock, and barrel. I found out how lonely I could be. I decided I was going to take all that stuff and I was going to throw it away. I remember, you know, because of music and everything else, there was a little bit of music that I'd listen to. I took the little CD player out of my car where I couldn't even listen to music. I decided I wasn't going to listen to that junk. I wasn't going to fill my head with that. I broke all ties that I had with the world. That's what that scapegoat did. It broke all ties with the world. Broke all ties with things that connected it to the world. Broke all ties with all of it. And I remember I'd sit up in my bedroom on a Friday night where I used to have friends. I'd sit up there all by myself and God would meet with me. God would meet with me up there in my bedroom. And I'd pray and start reading my Bible and God would meet with me. And I remember I'd drive down there to that old schoolhouse that I was going to. And I remember how I started hating school so much because all I heard around me was a bunch of filth and trash. And I'd get in my car and I'd drive all by myself down to the school. And God would get in that car with me and I'd start singing songs to the Lord and big tears would begin to run down my face and I'd lift up a hand and I'd begin to praise God in that car all by myself. Ladies and gentlemen, I cut all ties that I had to the world. Cut all ties. What is it that's keeping you from God? What is it that's keeping you from God? I'll be honest with you, I remember standing up there on that podium. I thought that it was going to be the most exciting thing that ever happened to me. Here I am, you know, people, you know, act like they're real excited about it. I remember standing up there and there's nothing to this. There is nothing to this. There's no thrill to this. We sing that song, all that thrills my soul is Jesus. All that thrills my soul. Let me tell you something. You can go after all these things in the world and they're not going to satisfy you. They're not going to satisfy you one bit. You can accomplish all the things that the world has to offer. I remember reading the article about the last year there was a singer for, I believe it was the band called Linkin Park. They were a rock band back in the 90s and early 2000s. Well, that lead singer for that rock band just last year committed suicide.
And there was a band that he had wanted to be in since he was a kid that he bragged on so much. They're the ones that inspired him to be a rock and roll singer. And guess what? Come to find out, that's the band that they called him up. They said, "We want you to come sing for us." The thing that he's always wanted all of his life, the thing that he's always worked for, desired. You know what he did? He killed himself. Killed himself. Breaking all ties. What in this world is going to satisfy you? What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?
What shall it be?
What shall you give in exchange for your soul? You're going to break all ties with the world. Got to break all ties with the world. Got to break all ties with sin. Got to break all ties with sin. When are you going to be done with it? When are you going to be done with it? Once and for all. Tell you why people aren't done with it. Because they don't love the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why. You can hate sin all you want to, but it ain't till you love the Lord Jesus Christ that you'll put it away. You can hate it all you want to, and you love Jesus Christ, that'll do some things for you. Do some things for you. Love Him. I tell you what, you'd be surprised inside this building what people are caught up in. The things that are in people's hearts. The things that are in people's minds. Set your affections. Set your mind on things above. Set your mind on the Lord Jesus Christ. We had a preacher preach at our church on Sunday about having your heart fixed on Him. Why is it that you're not saved? Why is it that you're not sold out for God? It's because your heart's not fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's other things that you'd rather have. There's other things that you'd rather be involved in. There's other things that have your heart. There's other things that you've set your heart on rather than the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not everything to you. We sing that song, "Jesus is all the world to me." And some of you can't sing that out of a true heart.
That's right.
Because the world is all the world to you. Money is all the world to you. Money is all. You know what? I spent a week, just a couple weeks ago, with a multimillionaire. You know what he did? He went out there to Montana and he bought him a piece of property. He bought him 500 acres out there in Montana, about an hour away from Glacier National Park. And I built him a shed so that he could drive people down this little pathway and show him, "I have a shed here." That's the only reason why I built it. That's the only reason. He don't have nothing out there to put underneath it. That's the only reason why he built it. You know what he was talking about? "I want to buy that piece of property. I want to build a house. I don't like my house. I'm probably gonna sell mine. I'm gonna buy that big piece of property over there, and I'm gonna build a house on top of that hill where you can see those mountains." Didn't satisfy him. He's got all the money. He's got a house in St. Thomas. That ain't enough. You know what? If you're not satisfied with what you have now, you won't be content.
Yes, sir.
You won't be content.
Right.
If you're not content with the car that you have now, you're not going to be content. If you're not content with the clothes that you have now, you're not going to be content.
Right.
If you're not content with the house and the cars and everything that you have now, it doesn't matter if you get $1 million. It don't matter if you get $1 billion. It don't matter if you get $1 trillion. You're not going to have enough.
That's right.
You're not going to have enough. Breaking all ties with the things of this world. Breaking all ties with the things of this world. You know what? It's awful hard for my parents to tell worldly-minded people what happened to them. Oh, they used to be able to tell my son, he's a state champion wrestler. He's getting looked at by so-and-so. You know how hard it is to tell worldly people, oh, he didn't go to college. He just ignored it.
Yeah.
It's foolishness to them.
That's right.
It's foolishness to them, friend. I remember being in school. And all that was going on in my life. And I remember this other person that was an athlete. They were just telling me how stupid it is what you're doing. How stupid it is. And you know what? It didn't matter to me. Didn't matter to me. Because I was trying to obey God the best that I knew how.
Yes,
ladies and gentlemen, God would flood my soul. Is God everything to you? Have you broken all ties with the world? Or is the world precious to you? Is the world precious to you? You separated, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing.
Amen.
If you're going to separate from, you better separate unto.
Right.
The Bible said Paul was apostle of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. If you're going to be called from the world, you better be called unto the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You better be doing something for the Lord. Better be doing something for the Lord. Breaking all ties with the world. Breaking all ties with the world. Why? Because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died on the cross for us. We ought to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That's what it is. That's what it is. That's what that sacrifice is. That's a sacrifice alive over in Leviticus 16. It's a sacrifice alive. Goes out there. It doesn't have a city dwelling place now. That's how we are. We don't have a continual city now, but we have one to come. If you're born again, have one to come. That's how the Leviticus priests were. The Levites, they didn't have a place on this earth. They have one to come. Have one to come. Where is your kingdom? Where is your kingdom? Is your kingdom of this world? Or is your kingdom laid up there in heaven? Where is your kingdom? I'm done, brother.
Amen, brother.